What I'd like to do is explain a little bit about the forehand that we feel is the most efficient, the most effective way to hit the ball for any tennis player, any age, size, or level. And this is all through Brian's research. And believe me, when things are backed up by science, it's really hard to argue. I knew Brian just from a few articles he's written for tennisplayer.net. So some of the research that he's done, being a biomechanist and everything he's done in the sports science field, I followed to some degree. So when he approached me about using 3D and integrating it into the academy with a lot of the kids, just to really get a blueprint, an accurate roadmap of really what's going on technically, and being able to see this stuff at 400 frames a second and in 3D was very fascinating to me. Before I get into the real muscle mechanics of what your arm is going to do and where it's going to go, I want to reinforce there's other pieces to this puzzle, and I don't want to really neglect that. Power starts from the ground up. You got to push on the ground. Okay, your legs are going to come up and your hips are going to fire. So that's the keys to the car. And I need everybody to understand that. But today what I'm here to talk about is just muscle mechanics. I'm here just to talk about the racket and the elbow and where this is going to go and what exactly is going to happen. But to start the engine, we always got to remember that power starts from the ground up. So if the student doesn't really want to bend, forget getting low. If the student's not going to push on the ground first, I recommend golf, bowling, swimming. I'd recommend another sport if you don't want to bend. So the first thing that's going to happen, you're going to push down and the legs are then going to come up and the hips are going to fire. Then we're going to get into exactly how these mechanics work. Number one, when the ball comes over, one of the things we like the students to do, especially at a young age, when they make the all-important unit turn, we want the left hand to stay on the racket when they're taking it back. When they're taking this thing back, keep the left hand on the racket. But here's a big key teaching point that really hits home with a lot of students, and it keeps everything locked in. When you take it back, I like you to think that you're going to nudge someone, your brother, your sister, someone you don't like. It doesn't matter to me. When you take the racket back, keeping the left hand on, I want the elbow going back like you're nudging someone. And I just think from a developmental point of view, when the kids keep the left hand on the racket, you can mail it in that the shoulders are going to turn. Now, probably the most common mistake that I've seen the last 25 years, if someone would say, Rick, if you could go down your top 10 mistakes that you see from kids, okay, from a technical point of view, number one would be people don't turn correctly on the forehand. There's no doubt. You're going to make that all-important turn, but we want you to keep the hand on the racket all the way back so you can feel a stretch in the left shoulder. Now, the elbow should be elevated. It should be like a nudge. But let me explain. When I say elevated, that can go a lot of different ways. I'm not saying take it back like the great Pete Sampras, who used to go up here, or Yvonne Lendl, even though we'd all like to have those forehands. But at the end of the day, when the elbow gets too high, there's a cause and an effect. When the elbow's too high, the racket comes down. That's going to make the swing a lot longer, a lot more flowing and fluid. And remember what the game plan is here. We're going to make the stroke shorter, but we're going to make the racket head go faster. So when we say nudge and the elbow up, up can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. When we say the elbow is elevated, what I'd like to have happen is this. The elbow would be in a straight line to the fence. The forearm would be parallel to the ground, something in this fashion. So the strings are pretty much pointing this way. But let me explain. There can be little adaptations or flare because depending on how you're holding the racket, Western, Semi, Eastern, hopefully no more continental forehands out there. So that could change a little bit the angle. But in general, most people are close to a semi, so the strings are going to end up somewhere along this line. Already, this is totally different than a lot of forehands out there. Look at the space I've created just in the preparation. And this is critical. And by the way, if you let go of the racket too soon, I'm not saying you couldn't get it to the position. And if someone might be too tight, then I think as a teaching tool, a corrective technique, let them let go. I have people let go of the racket sometimes, but there's a rhyme and a reason. But in general, especially younger kids, I want this mailed in. We've already completed this part of the stroke. Now, as you're gonna go into the backswing, okay, you're going what we call to the outside. If you look how I'm looping the racket, I'm looping it to the outside. Boom, we do the nudge, strings are in this position, elbow up, elbow extension, elbow up, elbow extension. When you're a little bit further away, and this is gonna be almost away from the body at a brace, it's gonna be much easier when you come out of the loop to go to the outside. You know, we're all taught to turn sideways, you're gonna make a little loop, and when you do this, it's been my experience, thousands and thousands of times, when the elbow is close, when you go into the next part of the stroke, the loop, because this is a hinge, and this is where your elbow is, when you're too close, almost always, you're gonna go this way out of the loop, and the racket is gonna go back behind. Anybody who is right here, if they're in close, their muscle memory, ever since they're little, they're gonna come out of the loop this way. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but here's what's gonna happen. The stroke's gonna take a lot longer. You're gonna have to manufacture the topspin, and the stroke is more in a semicircle. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Some of the best players in the world, especially on the female side, they hit the ball like that. Okay, at the end of the day though, there's a more optimum way to hit this stroke. And so what we found out, and this is even effective at kids 5 years old. I literally have five-year-olds that come out of their loop on the hitting side of the body. They come out of the loop with their hand in a different position than most players do. So the pushback, or maybe some people will say, well, you know, the females might need to take it back farther because they're not as strong. There's not as much spin in the women's game. There can be argument that goes the other way. I understand that. But this has been proven that size and strength doesn't matter, okay? It does not matter. Remember, we're trying to make the stroke shorter, but we're also gonna make it go faster. Some of the best players in the country that weren't doing this, every single one of them, I would start them and say, I want you to try something for me. I would have them start like this. I start with the racket head above the hand to the outside. This is critical because I'm going to get into what we call the flip. We're going to make the racket flip very dynamically and hit the slot. That's coming down the road here. But the racket head has to be above the wrist to the outside. I can start any player. Try this. You can start the player just like this with the arm extended at a diagonal. What we like to tell the kids, pretend there's a dog there. You're gonna tap the dog on the head. It doesn't matter, German Shepherd, Poodle, you decide what dog, okay? So the racket's to the outside, like your good dog, okay? You're not gonna tap the dog like this, and you're not gonna karate chop the little guy, okay? You're gonna go this way. The racket head has to be orientated above the hand, okay? So nudge. We go to the outside. I can have players start like this, and if it's been 5,000 people that have done this, take a number, and I feed them the ball, and they do the stroke, after half dozen or a dozen balls, I ask them two questions. I said, what do you feel? Every single one of them, whether it's a six-year-old or someone number one in the country, they all said the same thing. I feel my racket head go faster. And I'm going, no, wait a minute. If you can make your stroke shorter and you can make the racket head go faster, that's what the game of tennis is all about.